Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning, this Mother's Day morning. Just wanted to make sure everybody had all their handouts. So you should have your main handout, which is the lesson, session 13, and then have a handout for the listening, for the video course. And then we have an extra handout with His Eyes is on the Sparrow. So hopefully you got all your handouts.
Yeah.
So let's open with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord God. We thank you for another Mother's Day. And as everyone in here, Lord, we just are so grateful for our mothers and for all that they have done and the sacrifice that they have made, Lord God, to nurture us and to raise us up, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for your just many blessings upon us, Lord God. We thank you for the concept of mothers and fathers. But, Lord, today we especially thank you for our mothers today, Lord God. And we ask that you would help us, Lord, even as we do this lesson. We ask for your Holy Spirit to come, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we just wait on your Holy Ghost to come. Minister to us as only you can minister, Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, just minister to our hearts, minister to our minds as we go further in learning and studying and understanding, Lord God, our relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we are continuing with session 13, and my page numbers are different than yours, but I'm going to just review as I always do. We're on session 13. It's the section talking about the vertical relationship. And we were talking about the cross of Christ. Last week we did the introduction, and we just talked about why we, even as believers, why do we even have to talk about the cross of Christ? I mean, that should be just Christianity 101. Why do we even have to even go there? It's because it's so critical that we really understand that we have a true relationship with Jesus Christ, and that we're not just going through the motions. Some people go through the emotions because that's what their mom did. That's what people do. That's what their culture does or whatever. But it's so important that we understand that we have true relationship with Jesus Christ. So we started talking about and just introducing just reintroducing the concept. Our key verse was from 1 Peter 2:24 that says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and to live to righteousness." And there's so much in that. It's not just about accepting Jesus Christ as a formality. It's about really beginning your walk and your relationship with him. That's why he died, so that we could die to sin, you know, because we were born in it. We were raised in it. So he died so that we could die to it and live in righteousness. We talked about the parable of the wheat and the tares and how Jesus just over and over again, it was something about hypocrisy that really bothered Jesus Christ. I mean, that's why if you read the Gospels, you see the only time he got really upset was when it was those Pharisees and those Sadducees, the religious leaders that were actually just doing whatever. That really angered him because they were not representing his father the way they should have been representing. They were more interested in the legal and in the rituals of religion rather than the relationship of religion. And they were constantly taunting him, and they were constantly calling him out in the crowd, you know, because he was doing something, healing a man on the Sabbath. You know, they're calling him out. Here he is doing good things for this man. And instead of cheering with the crowd that the man was healed, they're pulling out the fact that it's a Sabbath day and how dare you heal somebody, because that's the rules and the regulations. And Jesus was all about relationship. That's what he was trying to say over and over again. The parable of the wheat and the tares says that, you know, that sometimes the tares can be growing up with the wheat. And we should really take that to heart, because what he's saying basically, if the tares are growing up with the wheat, what he's saying is that the tares are in the church. The tares are with us in the church. They're walking around. They're doing this, that, and that in the church of Jesus Christ. You know, but he said the day is going to come when they're going to be separated out. I think even the heat that will come just from being a Christian these days is going to separate out the tares. You know, and then Jesus said at the end, they will be gathered in a bundle and they will be burned. You know, so really, this is a critical lesson for all of us to listen to and to understand, you know, what is he talking about? What does all this mean that, you know, they'll be gathered out and they'll be burned? What he's talking about is on the other side of this, we have an appointment before the throne of God. That's what it's saying. He's saying on the other side of this, you know, you can pretend to be a tare on this side, I can't tell the tare from the wheat. But on the other side, when we have that appointment with Christ, oh, he's going to be able to tell the tares from the wheat. Those are just putting on an act on Sunday, and on Monday, you know, we hang up our religion, as I used to hear people say. I'll just put my Holy Ghost on the shelf, I used to hear people say, and I'll do whatever I want. You know, I'm not thinking about my relationship. So Jesus hit on that issue over and over again about hypocrisy. He hated it. When he talked about the fig tree, he cursed that fig tree. Why did he curse the fig tree? It was big, beautiful fig tree. You know, so why did he curse it? At least it looked good. You know, if nothing else, it was looking good. He cursed it because it didn't have any fruit. That bothered him. This tree is supposed to produce fruit, and it's not. Therefore, it's cursed. You know, and you'll notice again with the fig tree, it didn't dry up right there and then. They said the next day. So again, it goes back to the wheat and the tares. It doesn't happen right away, but the day is going to come when Jesus is going to separate who truly has relationship with him and who truly doesn't. Most of the Bible are written to believers, they're written to Christians. You know, that's who it's written to. So we would do well to pay attention to what it's saying and what it's telling us. And, you know, and then we went on to another, the segment that on in your lesson that says a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we talked about the evidences of relationship with Christ. What is the evidence? And the Apostle Paul spoke to us about in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, he talked about tests. He said, test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. I mean, he's talking to Christians, folks, here. You know, he is not talking to unbelievers. They already know they're not in the faith. They don't have to take a test. So he's talking to us, saying, test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you are in the faith and living your lives as committed believers. Examine yourselves, not me. He said, I can't examine you all. I have to examine Karen and make sure Karen's got it right. You know, I have to examine myself before the cross. I can't examine Steve and I'm going to examine Darla before the cross. No, I got to take care of this one. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking to them and saying, examine yourselves, not me. Or do you not recognize that this about yourselves by an ongoing experience that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test and are rejected as a counterfeit? And boy, I don't want to be that counterfeit on that day, folks. That's why we're talking now. That's why we're in class now. That's why we're talking. We're bringing it out in the open. That's why we need to get real now. Yes. So that on that day, we're not rejected as a counterfeit. So the first thing we talked about last week, we talked about what are some of the tests. One thing is the test of your faith is, do you feel conviction of sin? You know, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not going to feel convicted of sin. You can say whatever you want to say to people. You can cut people up with your tongue. You can steal. You can lie. You can do whatever you want, and you're not going to feel anything because you don't. It's a test that you don't have that relationship, that Jesus Christ, his Holy Spirit, is not dwelling in you. You know, you should feel some conviction when you do something wrong, and you should, you know, when you hurt somebody, you should feel something, you know, and that usually is the Holy Spirit. Even though you justify yourself at the moment, you know, you justify yourself in telling that person off. You know, you felt justified. They messed with you first. They pushed your button. I told them to leave me alone, and they kept coming back. They kept coming back. And so you blew up at them. But later on, you feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit. I've been through that. I know many of you have been through that. You feel like, okay. And the Holy Spirit starts talking to you. And, you know, the Holy Spirit says, I raised you better than that. Holy Spirit says, now, this is what you're going to do tomorrow. Like, oh, no, please don't tell me I have to apologize. Yes, you have to apologize, you know. Humble yourself. You know, the scripture says you have to humble yourself before God and men. Oh, my goodness. I can humble myself before God, but now I got to humble myself before people, too. Yes, you do. And that's a test. If you're feeling that tugging in your heart and you're feeling that conviction, that's a good thing because that means the Holy Spirit is there and the Holy Spirit is working. When you know when you've done something or, you know, the Holy Spirit has told you to do something and you didn't do it, you know, those things, you know that you're feeling that conviction. And conviction is a good thing. It's showing you that the Holy Spirit is there. And so it's telling you also to get it right, get it right. So that's where we left off last week. Now we're going to go into, do you have joy? And that was a really, boy, that's a really interesting thing, because in this day and age, where we're going through so much stuff, so many things happen, even before the pandemic, you know, life was just what it was, you know. They talk about the Blue Monday and, you know, getting up and, okay, here we go into another week, you know. Do you have joy? Good question. You know, do I have joy? Do I, am I happy about life? You know, and happiness and joy are two different things. And because joy is not based on circumstances. Happiness is. You know, you're happy when things are good. You know, but joy, oh, that goes a little deeper. You can have joy even when it's not based on your circumstances. Your lesson says joy goes beyond happiness. It's not based on your circumstances. Joy will have you singing in the middle of trouble. Joy will move you to worship while in prison after being mistreated. And the story in Acts 16 through 25 tells the story of Paul and Silas and how they praised God even when they were in prison. They praised God, you know, and the story goes on to say that they were in there and they were just praising God after they had been beaten and thrown into prison. And then the gates, the chains fell off and the doors flew open and all of this stuff was happening. The jailer, when he found out and discovered what was going on, he was afraid, because surely they're going to kill me, because the prison doors are open, all the chains are off, and surely they're going to get rid of me. But even in their joy, I love this about the story, because even in their joy, they didn't run off, but they remained there with the jailer. I was reading this yesterday, and it was just so beautiful, because not only did they remain in place and beg the jailer, don't kill yourself, because he's going to kill himself. He said, I might as well just kill myself, because they're going to kill me. And Paul said, don't kill yourself. We're all here. And Paul had an opportunity to minister to him. See, that's what joy does. Joy will make you forget your total situation. I mean, Paul is in prison. You're the prisoner. You know, what are you doing minister to the jailer when you're the prisoner? You know, I mean, any common sense person would be getting out of Dodge. But no, he was there thinking about the soul of this jailer. You know, I mean, that's how Jesus said, that's what joy does. Joy will have you loving people, you know, and just say, hey, don't kill yourself. Don't kill yourself. It's all right. We're all here, you know. And then what happened was that he was able, the door opened for him to minister to the jailer, and he ministered to the jailer and his entire family. That's the way Jesus works, and that's the way joy works. You know, what I'm discovering with the fruit of the Spirit, joy is a part of the fruit of the Spirit, is that every single one of them have power. Every single part of that fruit, when it's operating your life, it brings a power into your life. You know, Paul was able to, because they had so much joy, all the chains, all the problems just fell off them. And not only did the problems fall off them, they were able to minister to the people that were persecuting them. And that's the way that works. God will, the Holy Spirit, as they said, they used to say back in my old church, the Holy Spirit will show up and show out, you know, and he will, and it will amaze you at what can happen. Why are you so happy? Why are you always smiling? You know those type of people that get mad at you because you're happy. It's a pandemic going on. What are you smiling about? Thank God for the mask, huh? They don't have to see you smile so much, huh? So the next part of your lesson, joy will show you the blessings in a situation. You know, because every day, every week, we have situations, but joy will show you the blessings in the situation. And joy, that you can continue to hear God not to leave prison, even though you're able to leave prison, the chains have fallen out, joy will tell you to stay and minister to people and keep praising God through the pain. Keep winning souls through the pain, through keep loving and praising and being happy, even when all the circumstances say that you should be grumbling and you should be complaining. The next point in your lesson says joy resonates the word that teaches, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and his purpose. You guys are familiar with that. That's in the Amplified. Romans 8:28. Joy praises in the darkness, knowing that Jesus has a plan that will work it out. You know that? That's why you can always joy. There's no reason, there's never a reason not to praise God. You know, I know we're human and we have our emotions and, you know, things really hurt us and bother us. But boy, if you can just squeeze out a praise. Sometimes I've had to squeeze out a prayer. I remember being so disappointed and so hurt and so wounded. I remember just driving down the street, tears rolling down my eyes, and I'm just trying to pray. I'm just going to praise you. Praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will, you know, that's what you have to do sometimes. Just praising him. You know, you're not feeling it in here. Yeah, your heart's broken. You know, but I dare you to do it. And I'm telling you, you want to see God bow down and listen, do that. And God, I'm telling you, God, you talk about the Holy Ghost showing up and showing out. You know, God is like, listen, my child's heart is broken, and yet she is still praising me. Amen. Oh, you just watch God work for you now. God is coming. He is coming to your rescue. You hear me? Because he sees the joy that you have decided to display before him, even though he sees that your heart is broken. Oh, I'm telling you, that is quite an experience. I've had that experience. You know, I did it. I said, Lord, I'm going to do it as an act of my will, even though my heart is torn in shreds. The next point of your lesson says, joy removes complaining from your lips and replaces it with praise. Hallelujah. The apostle wrote this, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise by singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5, 19 through 20. And again, that's the Amplified. So complaining is easy, guys. It is easy to complain. It'll roll off your lips before you even know it. First thing, you get up in the morning. You know, you get up, huh? Man, got to get up already. That alarm clock is too loud. You know, you get up complaining. I mean, it's how we came into the world. I said this before. You come into the world complaining. Wah, wah, feed me. Wah, wah. You know, call me. Wah, wah, change my diaper. I mean, that's all we do. That's how we came into the world. You know, and we have to grow out of that. We got to come out of that, because here we are, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. I'll stop there years later. And we're doing the same thing. We're still doing it. We're still doing it, folks. That's why we talk about a relationship. See, when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he'll talk with you and he'll walk with you. He'll tell you some different things. You know, look at the sun rising in the east, things that you just take for granted. That sun did not have to rise in the east. This old planet, I have to give you guys the astronomy lesson again. You know, this old planet could have rolled off into oblivion out there. But it's sitting right there on an axis. The axis of the earth is right at a slant, and it rotates every 24 hours. And in the middle is a ball of fire, okay, the sun, and we're rotating around it. I'm telling you, when the Lord was just really ministering that to me, I was like, you know, we need to be grateful, because it is he. The scripture says, by him, all things consist and hold together. Don't you know he keeps us every day? The atmosphere, this blanket around the planet Earth called the atmosphere, that has this oxygen so that things can grow and thrive. Oh, I'm telling you, ask the people on the planet Jupiter what they, you know, how grateful we should be. That's right. There's no people on the planet Jupiter, are there? Nobody there. Can't live there. I hear their atmosphere is something like ammonia or something, you know, some crazy stuff over there on Jupiter. But there's so much to give thanks, always giving thanks. You know, change that complaining. And it's hard to do, folks. I had to work at it. I had to work at it, but the Holy Spirit helped me. The Holy Spirit kept reminding me through the day to be praising and have that praise on my lips and have that praise in my mouth. I don't have to complain. There's always something, Lord. And if it was nothing else, Lord, thank you for the sun in the sky. Lord, thank you. You know, sometimes, you know, the complaint was right there. Just wanted to come out of my mouth. And I had to look at something. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you that there's aspirin on the shelf today at the store. Lord, thank you. You know, I'm not going to complain about the person in front of me that's taking forever, you know, with their order. Thank you, Lord, that they put the Payday candy bars out here, Lord God. You know, there's so much you can thank God for. You know, instead of complaining and sitting there like, wish he'd hurry up. What are they? They know people are waiting. Oh, we should be lights that shine in the darkness, folks. There's so many opportunities out there to be lights that shine in the darkness, spreading joy. Wherever you go, that joy should be everywhere. Wherever you go, that, you know, that you're happy, that you're pleasant to people. You know, the poor cashiers and the poor people trying to help you, trying to, you know, trying to make sure you got food. I've learned to be grateful for Safeway and Walmart and Sam's Club. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. They working. They working, Lord. Boy, we didn't have everything that we used to have, but boy, we got some stuff. I'm telling you, thank you, Jesus. I took a picture when those toilet paper shelves were empty. I took a picture because I wanted to remember. I said, Lord, when the toilet paper come back, I'm going to be thanking you because I'm going to be looking at this picture. Remember when it was gone? There's so much we have to be grateful for. You know, and it's hard even in this country, in the United States, because we're so privileged, you know, and we think we feel so entitled that people are supposed to do it and this is my right and I should have. Oh, no, you shouldn't. It is only by the grace of God.
Amen.
That you have what you have. You know, things didn't have to work out the way they did. You know, I'm telling you, be grateful. I'm telling you, I'm learning, and the Holy Spirit had to teach me that. And sometimes people will start the complaining for you. They'll start the complaint party. They'll come up to you, girl, it's just hot outside. Well, it's summer. It's supposed to be hot, you know? You know, but the Lord said, as long as the earth remains, it'll be summer, winter, spring, time, and harvest. So I thank you, Lord, that it's hot, Lord. That it's warm, that we're having a season of warmth, that plants can grow, so we can have food in the wintertime. Thank you, Lord. Don't let people drag you into their complaint party. You be the one that turns that thing around and just show them, you know, to be grateful. And sometimes they'll be upset with you because misery loves company. That's true, you know, and they'll be upset with you. But learn, I can't do that natural thing of complaining. You have to practice having a praise on your lips, a song in your heart. You know, I had to learn to, you know, even just get a song in my head that I'm going to have just in case. I mean, you have to go packing. Pack a song in your mind that when it happens and the enemy comes to push your button that day, your song comes right out. You know, and that song I love, his praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, his praise. It doesn't have to be anything complicated, just something, his praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on. And I thank goodness, I like the mask for that reason, because I can sing, I can move my lips now. Before people thought I was weird, but now, now they don't even see me. They don't see me, my praise will ever be on my lips. You know, lady talking to herself. So we want to practice praise, plan on it, be ready for the trials of the day with a praise, you know, a Bible verse, even if it's a Bible verse, sometimes the word of God, yes, have a word, the word of God, or have that little song, sometimes songs are easier, so you're not going to complain. I mean, sometimes you have to bite your lip, you know, as I said, Joyce Meyer said she had to run in the bathroom, stuff a towel in her mouth, you know, and scream, you know, just to keep from complaining, you know, trying to break yourself of the cycle, because you can break yourself of the cycle, and then, you know, the Holy Spirit can help you. The Holy Spirit, come, break me of the cycle of complaining and grumbling all the time, and let me just praise you and be thankful for you and watch things happen in your life. I'll tell you, things will turn around as you're grateful. Lord, the Lord loves people that are grateful. Ask the children of Israel, they got caught up in the 40 years in the wilderness. Why grumbling, complaining? You know, and I think God took out half of them at one point. So, you know, we just want to always be grateful for what God is doing. Joy displays a distrust in our Almighty God. Joy displays a trust in our Almighty God. Joy screams, God can. God can. That's what joy screams to you. God can. And I got this, when I was doing these notes, boy, that song came to mind, and I was playing it before the class. His Eye is on the Sparrow, written by Sevilla D. Martin in 1905. and her husband was a pastor, and she wrote this song. And sometimes I like to listen to the song, and sometimes I just like to read the words, mm-hmm. because it takes me back to the writer, because somebody else did the music, but Sevilla wrote the words, and this is what was going on in her heart when she wrote the words. I wrote them down for you, and it says, "Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting in his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever the clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him, for care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." I love that one. Boy, I'm just ready to scream on that one. When you just, sometimes you gotta just, you know, put the melody aside and just read the words. I can just see Sevilla right now just screaming and just praising God as she is writing this song, probably maybe on her porch watching the sparrows. You know, I was listening to that song that I was playing for you on the way here today, and I was stopping at a stoplight, and she was on that part, "His eye is on the sparrow." You know, the sparrow came and just floated around my windshield, and then it just flew on. I said, "Lord, I just know that was you." I said, "I know that was you again. You just always messing with me, Jesus. You just always," I was just got all teary-eyed, because he was just letting me know, yes, I'm watching his eye. I'm watching this sparrow, so you know I'm watching you. I see it. I know you hurt. I know things happen, but no, I got you right here. And my hand is on the gauge. I love that about God. His hand is on the gauge, folks. You don't have to worry, you know. And I wrote this song out for you because I wanted you to read it over and over again and sing it, read it, and just some of the things she says. And even though I only see one step, she says in the song, I only see one step. I don't even see what's going to happen tomorrow. Lord, I'm just trying to get to the day. She said, "But his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." God's got your tomorrow. So, you know, don't even worry about tomorrow. You just take care of today. Happy Mother's Day, y'all. Y'all just enjoy Mother's Day, okay? Because God has got tomorrow, okay? Oh, wow. So that's the joy piece, okay? That's another indicator, okay? So test yourself on the joy piece, okay? And if we're parking here, we're all parking here, we're doing this testing and this evaluating. That's what we're doing for the next few weeks. You're parking and evaluating yourself in light of the Word of God and what it says. So do you have joy? That's the next one. Next one is, do you love? Oh, this is gonna be a heavy one. So your lesson says, love is one of the most powerful indicators in your life of the presence and the movement of Christ and his Holy Spirit. Remember, the first part of the fruit of the Spirit is written in Galatians 5 is love. The first part of that fruit, love, number one. The love that comes from the Holy Spirit supersedes human love. This love reaches out to the worst of humanity to bring salvation. This love is unconditional. This love never grows tired or frustrated, but is eternal, transcending life on earth to life in heaven. I'm telling you, this love, see, that it's not human love. See, you know when you see human love. Human gets unconditioned. You know, you act up too much, human love is gone, okay? You act up too much, human love will have an attitude. You know, they may still be there with you, but they got an attitude. You know, I love you, but, you know, I'm tired of you. Help me, Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, however, is never frustrated or hateful. And I know that's hard to swallow, but it's true. The Holy Spirit is never frustrated, and the Holy Spirit is never hateful. So when we're getting into that, Guess what? You're getting into yourself. We're getting into our emotions, and we're getting into the influences even of the enemy when we're getting into feeling that way. And that's when we need to call on the Holy Spirit, help me, because I'm feeling this. It's a test. It's an evaluation. And if you come up and you say, yes, I have been frustrated with that person. Yes, Lord, I haven't felt any love. Okay, that's good. Now we can help, because you can't treat a person that you can't diagnose, and you can't treat a person that won't come in for treatment. You know, if they won't come in for treatment, how are you going to help them? You know, so the Holy Spirit tries to get you to the place of recognizing where you are in contrast to Him. You know, and when we're in contrast with the Holy Spirit, and you can grieve the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can be grieved, but the Holy Spirit is never hateful. Okay, so when we're getting in that attitude and that hateful, guess what? You are not operating in the Holy Spirit, okay? So you need to get that memo and just tape it to your heart, okay? Put a push pin to your heart that when I'm acting and when I'm behaving in frustration and hate, I am not operating in the Holy Spirit. I'm operating in my own emotion, or in the influences of the enemy too. The next point on your lesson says, God's love holds back judgment and extends rescue to the lost of humanity. Whether rich or poor, stranger or family, the love of God is here to embrace. That's what the love of God. The love of God, see, it corrects without beating people down. It can correct a person without beating them up. The love of God gives without expecting any payment. That's what love does. Love is not looking for, I did that. See what I did? Yes, I gave. Did you all see how much I gave? No. Love gives because love loves. Love gives because it's just because of love. God, love respects a person's dignity. That's another thing. You know, I've seen people give to people, but they do it in such a showy way that again, the person's dignity is wounded, you know, because you had to do it that way. Just so, because it wasn't love, it was about you, you know. So we got to look at what love really looks like. It respects a person's dignity when giving. When you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you, said Jesus in Matthew 6:1-4. So again, I say that because as Christians, you know, we do a lot of giving. You know, if you look at all the statistics, you'll find that Christians give more than any other people group in the world. Christians, they're over, missionaries, they're over there. You know, we're everywhere. You know, giving, giving, giving. But beyond that, why are you doing it? Are you giving because you love? Because see, that's what God's looking at. Do you really love? Or are you doing it just to show off? Are you doing it so somebody will mention your name? You know, why are you doing it? See, love goes beyond that. Love just gives. Love gives in secret. I thank God for some of the people that have loved on me, you know, in the past. You know, sometimes I have gone to my mailbox and found cash in my mailbox. I don't know where, to this day, I don't know where it came from. Went out one time, found a gift card, $100 gift card to Dillard's. Till this day, I don't know who gave it to me. No name, no nothing. Just there. You know, that I don't know who that person is. I just thank God for the person, you know, and let the Lord reward them. You know, and just giving. Just giving, because, and I knew it was born out of love. It wasn't born out of, oh, I want you to call me up and send me a thank you card and, you know, and all of this, and make sure you tell all your friends, you know, you know what I did. No, love. See, when we're talking about love, we're talking about true love. And just also talking about love, the Holy Spirit will teach you how to love people. Because we're talking about doing this assessment, and if you come up lacking, Holy Ghost, help me. That's the first part of the fruit that is mentioned in the Word of God is love. How do I love people? And don't assume that you know how to love people just because you're familiar with them, okay? Don't assume. You know, and that's something to say to parents in particular. Parents, sisters, brothers, sons, daughters, mothers, fathers. Don't assume you know how to love people just because they're related to you. You got to let the Holy Ghost show you how to love people. Lord, the Holy Spirit is showing me how to love my daughter. My child, you know, as she's doing stuff, I'm like, the Holy Ghost is teaching me how to love. Okay, because I would have done it this way. This is the way Karen would have done it. After all, I raised you up. You know, as Bill Cosby used to say, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out. But love says something different. See, love says, I'm going to love you. 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 And they could be doing all kind of things, saying all kind of things, but I'm going to love you. I'm not going to return evil for evil or insult for insult. To this you have been called, says the word of God. That's the love you've been called to, is not to, you know, people mistreat you at work, mistreat you in your neighborhood. Love. Love them back. Love them back. Someone said, you throw love at hate. Somebody told me, you throw love at hate. Wouldn't it be something if people threw love at hate?
Yes.
It would be extinguished just like that. It would be extinguished in our world, in our nation, if we threw love at hate. But instead, we throw hate at hate, and now we got double hate.
Yes.
That's all we got.
Yes.
Okay? No, nothing solved. We just have double hate. And that's what the enemy wants.
Yes.
But we have got to be wise, you know, in your home, in your household. You know, we can see it on a national level, but sometimes it's right in your house. You can see it in your household. They throw all kind of stuff at you. I'm going to throw love at you. Now, sometimes you have to do something just for the good of the household. I understand that. You know, okay, now you're hurting everybody else in here, so now we have to do this. I still love you, but I have to love everybody. You know, but sometimes when it comes to these snide remarks and these different things, and you know, we have to learn how to love a child. Everyone should know how to love a child. You just assume, pray, ask the Holy Spirit to show you, how do I love this one? Because
yeah.
You know, children are different. You know, how do I had to love my son Matt, who has autism, different than my daughter Kristen, who doesn't. You know, and I had to see what was going on with each of them and give them what they needed. You know, but that comes by unction of the Holy Spirit. If you just assume you know, guess what, mama, daddy, you're going to be running to a lot of brick walls.
Mm-hmm.
But show them, that teenager, oh my God, the teenagers, you know. Like, and they'll lie right to your face, man, as if it's their occupation is to lie to you, you know. And you just have to pray, Lord, show me how to love this person, you know. I know they're young and they don't understand. Show me how to love them. That takes the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, it takes the Holy Ghost to love a teenager, right? I'm telling you, you have to, because if you don't get the Holy Ghost involved, you're going to react in a way that's going to push them away, make them do something more than they should be doing, or something else, you know. So again, folks, when we get to this love piece, don't assume that you know. Take it to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, this is part of your fruit. Show me how to love, you fill in the blank, the name of that person. Because, Lord, I'm not feeling love. You know, even if it's your child, Lord, I ain't feeling love right now. You know what I'm feeling. You know, and I just want to go down there and do, you know, you fill in the blank. You know, Holy Ghost, show me what to do. You know, because the enemy, oh, he's cunning. He's cunning. He knows how to push your buttons. He wants, like, I'm going to get you so angry that you're going to say something. It's going to trigger them, and they're going to go do something. That was the plan all along. That's what you got to know. So you got to get ahead of the enemy. See, the Holy Spirit will get you ahead of the enemy. Because the only entity that has been around longer than Satan is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you need to tap into them if you're going to get ahead of the enemy when it comes to loving people. Oh, man, and they're all around you. They're in the workplace, man. They'll mess with you, man. They will mess with you. But let the Lord show you what to do, and he will bless you. The next point in your lesson says, God loves goes beyond race, culture, nationality, and even lifestyles. Jesus said, for God so loved the world, John 3:16. Do you classify who is deserving of love, or do you love all the world? And this is a real poignant point in our day and time, because people are living all kind of ways, all kind of lifestyles out there that we're seeing, and you know, and getting upset and frustrated about it. And when we're forgetting what John 3:16 is saying, you know, the Bible does not classify sin. You know, we want to. Oh, you really a sinner. You all right. You kind of a medium sinner. And no, y'all just you light sinners, you know. That's what we want to do, you know. We want to classify sin. Sin is sin to God. You know, love is love to God. For God so loved the world. He didn't say, I love part this part of the world and not this part of the world. I love this person that does this and this person that does that. I don't love. But he loves the whole world. And this is God's love that he called us to also, to love the world. We see Christians getting angry and talking negatively about certain people groups, dismissing the truth that God loves them. As you grow in God, ask him to grow his love in you to the point that you overcome your conditional and even judgmental love. Oh man, do you have judgmental love? You know, what that means is that I love you because you all, you do this, but I'm going to walk by. I'm going to walk on the other side of the street because after all, you're one of those people. You know, be careful, because the Holy Spirit will teach you how to love. And in all honesty, to truthfulness to us, we grew up like this. We were raised like this. We were born into this. We were born into cultures and all of this different things and the different families. And just so we have certain things that were inbred in us. God knows that. And that's why Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go back to my Father, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit. Because y'all need the Holy Spirit if you're going to make it. Because y'all were born in sin. Y'all got all kind of sin going on. So the Holy Spirit will teach you how to love people. I'm a witness. I love people today like I never loved people before. I didn't love people like this. You know, I love people that were in my people group, you know? In my people group, you know? And those are the people I love. And everybody else, you're all right. Just give me what I need when I need it. You know, otherwise, you know, you can go on and do whatever. But now, God's opened my eyes to see. Remember Jesus said, behold, look at the fields are white, ready for harvest. But many of us, early on, we were blinded to the field. We didn't even see it. All we saw were my four no more, as they say. That's all you saw. My family. I'm taking care of my family. I love my family, and everybody else can just, you know, do whatever. God will give you a heart for people to love them outside of everything. And I have to quote Tony Evans again, because he talked about this and all that hubbub was going down in Texas and everything, Black Lives Matter and all this stuff. And the New York Times quoted him, and he said this. He said, your Christianity first is not your color, your culture, or your country. Your Christianity first is your Christ.
Yes.
Wow, that stayed with me. That stayed with me because he was so right. Your Christianity first is your Christ.
Yeah.
And your Christian commitment, he said, that's your Christianity first. You don't put anything above your Christianity first. You know, let everybody, I'm sorry. You know, and he just went on to talk about just different things and people said to him and all of this and making little comments about other people and other cultures and other colors. And I'm like, and he's like, uh-uh. He said, no, we're not going to have that. Your Christianity first is your Christ. And you better hear your Christ on how to love people. You know, God called me on the carpet. You know, I was talking about somebody. I'm like, I can't believe they're doing that in public. Oh my God. And the Holy Spirit hit me like, who's praying for him? Mm-hmm. And to my shame, I wasn't. And I didn't know anybody who was. And it had to come to a point where I had to say, I'm going to pray, God. I'm going to pray for that young man. He's in that lifestyle. But Lord, I'm going to pray for that young man. You know, I wouldn't even go in his line. I'm like, I ain't going. I'm going in. No, let me. I'm judging the cashiers on whose line I'm going to go into and who I'm going to be around.
Oh, isn't that terrible?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that terrible? I'm like, call myself loving Jesus. The Holy Spirit said, you go in his line every single time. And I did. And I started talking with them and just saying, how are you doing? You know, how are you doing today? You feeling all right? You know, and all this stuff. And boy, the Holy Spirit put a love in my heart for that young man. A love in my heart that I knew wasn't there before. The Holy Spirit will have you loving people. You're like, why am I loving folks? You know, it goes beyond everything. The Holy Ghost will have you go beyond everything. I tell you the story about, you know, I'm a director of an autism center, and, you know, I'm always into being the professional and, you know, always having our professional face. But one time, one of our mothers came in, and she was telling me what was going on in her household and the behaviors her child was giving her and all the stuff that they were going through in their home. And before I knew it, tears were welling up in my eyes. And I'm like, wait a minute, I don't do this. What is this? I'm a professional. I'm telling the Holy Spirit I'm a professional. Folks, I'm telling you, the love of God supersedes everything. You put your professionalism on the shelf when the Holy Spirit shows up. And if you love who he tells you to love. Oh, we got to get this. I'm so glad for this lesson. I said, Lord, I'm glad for this lesson. And if you are a tear, you can turn into a piece of wheat. You can do that. God can turn you into a piece of wheat. Let's just add that one. Learning how to love. And so again, we're assessing ourselves. We're parking right here. And we're just doing an assessment on myself, Lord. Where am I? Where am I on this, Lord God? You know, am I really in relationship with you? Because if I am in relationship, do I love like you love? Do I have faith like you have faith? Do I have joy like you have joy, Lord? Lord, I'm asking because I can't trust what I think. I'm asking you, Lord, show me myself. As the apostle was saying, evaluate yourselves, not me. So the next point in your lesson says, if you failed the test of true relationship with Christ. If you have been going through the motions and formalities of the Christian faith without having a relationship with Christ, you should be very concerned. Wow. Such persons are in deeper deception than blatant unbelievers. I hope you're reading that. You're in deeper deception than blatant unbelievers. At least an unbeliever knows they have rejected or not accepted Christ. But the pretender are deluded into thinking they will be accepted by Christ on the day of judgment. They are just like the Pharisees and the scribes, whom Jesus warned would be condemned at the final judgment, despite their self-assurances that they were fine. And this is from the book. Boy, I have a plan for prayer. They thought they were fine, but Jesus confronted them and Jesus told them, wow, look out. On the day of judgment. Don't be like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he said. Oh, they went to church. They were in temple. They were teaching in temple. You know, I got to check Karen. Karen, you're teaching Sunday school, girl. Nobody's getting a pass on sincerity. Oh, I'm telling you, this is such an important lesson. So we all need to just park here at the cross and truly establish your relationship with Christ. So just a time of just parking at the cross. That's what this lesson is all about. And we all have to do it. You know, even if you come out passing all the tests, praise God. Praise God if you do. You know, but I find myself, I said, Lord, I'm just going back for a rewash, you know. I'm going back for a rewash before you. Mm-hmm. And is there somebody that I need to love more, Lord God? Am I grumbling and complaining about something? Is it coming out of my mouth, Lord God? Lord, am I convicted of sin? Am I doing stuff and I'm not feeling convicted of it? Show me what it is, Lord. You know, so that's what we're gonna do. So we are gonna move from this segment onto our video. And then we'll stop and have our comments and questions, okay?